sitting on the tuba over there, so I'm sorry about that. But if you can all see me, did some of you children meet our visitors today from Plymouth, Massachusetts? Herman and Sally Pilgrim. They came up here to visit for the day. They're kind of a quiet, small family, but very nice people when you get to know them. I want to tell you a little true Thanksgiving story. And I'm sorry to my kids who've heard this before. They've lived it. So, but how many of you really like Thanksgiving food? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. Well, me too. Thanksgiving was a very special holiday growing up in my family, and I loved all the good Thanksgiving cooking. Our family had a lot of good cooks in it, and we'd eat big meals. And what are some of your kids' favorite Thanksgiving food? Why don't you raise your hand and tell me? Andrew Fletcher, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
The turkey.
The turkey. What part of the turkey do you like? White meat or dark meat? Dark meat. Okay. Any of the other kids? What's your favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner or dessert? Jonathan Clater.
Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. Do you like it with skin in the potatoes or no? Just straight, like white, fluffy potatoes? Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice. Okay. Someone else. Victoria, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Apple pie.
Apple pie. Ooh, man, that sounds good right now. Anna Michael, what's your favorite?
Cranberry sauce.
Do you eat it any other time of the year besides Thanksgiving? You do?
Yeah, like in chicken sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Very gourmet. Wow, Food Network. All right. Well, my favorite thing growing up, I had a lot of favorite things. My grandpa made an oyster stuffing. Was really good. But my favorite dessert is pumpkin pie. And but you eat so much of it on Thanksgiving that it takes you 11 months to recover before you eat it again. And I was in the Air Force, and I was away from home at 18 years old for the first time ever missing a holiday with my family. And so at 18 years old, even though I couldn't go all the way from Texas, where I was in the Air Force, back to Missouri, where my family was, we had some relatives that lived there in Texas that weren't too far away from San Antonio, where I was at. And I was planning on spending Thanksgiving with Great Uncle Bob and Great Aunt Patsy. So I was going to go up there and spend the time with them. But I got in trouble with the Air Force. I failed an electronics test I was supposed to take, and so I got my town pass revoked, which in kid terms is I got grounded as a grown-up. I got grounded. I wasn't allowed to leave the base. So I had a very depressing Thanksgiving. I had to eat cafeteria food for my Thanksgiving dinner. Can you imagine cafeteria food? Yeah. I mean, not here, of course. This is great cafeteria food. But Air Force government cafeteria food. And that's what I had to eat on Thanksgiving. And I was so depressed, but I had one thing that I was really grateful for. My roommate and I had went to the little store on base called the Shopette and bought one frozen pumpkin pie in a box. And it said thaw and serve. So we took it back to our dorm room and put it in the little refrigerator, and it was frozen solid. So we let it thaw in the refrigerator all day long. We talked about it. We kind of would check on it, look at the box, and get so excited. We bought a big can of Ready Whip, you know, that spray whipped cream. Have you ever had that Ready Whip before? You guys like that? Oh, yeah. And I was all day thinking about, oh, I bet I'll eat 5 or 6 pieces of that pie tonight, because it's just he and I. We're going to eat it all by ourselves. I'm not going to share with anybody. So we get to the end of the evening, and now it's later in the evening. I've already had my cafeteria food, and now I'm back in the room, and Greg and I decide it's time to cut the Thanksgiving pie. And we're pretty proud of ourselves for thinking of this. So we go over to the refrigerator, and we slowly open the door, and we pull out the box that has the pie. It even has a picture of the pie on it. And I can imagine myself just eating that picture, and I pull the box out, and we gently open the little flaps on the side of the box. And we're so excited as we slide this pie out and find a pie full of pumpkin soup. See, we were just silly 18-year-old guys, and we didn't read the instructions very carefully. It said thaw, bake, and serve. I only saw thaw and serve. So I thought that if it just wasn't frozen, then it was ready to eat. but it had to be cooked. So we had a whole big pan of pumpkin soup inside of raw crust. And at first I was really depressed. But then we started laughing so hard at ourselves for being so silly that we couldn't hardly be mad anymore. And then we realized that we should give thanks for everything. Because really, God had really blessed us. Our country was in a time of war at that time during Desert Storm. And we had friends that had already had to go over to Iraq to serve. And we weren't there. And even though we were kind of away from family and it was a little discouraging, we were with each other. And he was a Christian. I was a Christian. And we were able to think of the things we're thankful for. And we were able to pray and thank the Lord even for this pumpkin pie that wasn't cooked. And at the end, you know what we did? After we said amen, we got out our plastic spoons and we drank our pumpkin pie and we used up all the Ready Whip. And other than a slight tummy ache for the next day or two, it was a great Thanksgiving because the Lord helped us know that, hey, in everything, give thanks. And it really doesn't matter what the food is or where you're at or whether or not you get to do all the things you normally want to do. What you should be thankful for is what God has done for you. You know, He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ. That's something to be very thankful for every single Thanksgiving, really every single day. So I want to share that with you guys. Your moms probably don't make those thaw, bake, and serve pies. But I'll tell you what, you can be thankful for everything. In everything, give thanks. And that's what we're going to be talking about in church tonight, too. So I think we're going to sing one more song, and you guys can all go find your seats as we sing this last verse of this song, and then we'll be talking about what the Bible says about Thanksgiving.
Back to 185, and let's sing the fourth verse before Pastor
tonight, obviously, is a little different. We're trying to get the kids involved and kind of conduct the service just a little differently, get a little more audience participation. And I'm going to ask you a question here in a minute about your Thanksgiving traditions, but I wanted to give you some good tips because Thanksgiving coming up, sometimes you don't have time to be creative, so I'm going to give you some creative tips for all those Thanksgiving leftovers. And you actually will probably be experiencing most of these at Shepherding Group next Sunday night. So things to do is your leftover Thanksgiving turkey. You can make turkey sandwiches, of course. Open-faced turkey sandwiches, which is the same. Turkey and rice soup. Turkey enchiladas. Turkey wraps. Turkey salad. Turkey chili. Turkey casserole. Turkey a la king, which was the one we grew up with. Turkey omelets. And if you eat all that, then you're gonna have turkey dreams, and you're gonna be so sick of turkey you won't want it till next November. But I was gonna ask you, what are some of your Thanksgiving traditions? And you can sound spiritual and give me a spiritual Thanksgiving tradition, or you can just give me something that's just real simple that you like or you like to do as a family. Doesn't have to have a great spiritual reason behind it, but just something you do as a family, as a Thanksgiving tradition. Just, you know, kind of raise your hand so I can get one at a time. Chuck, what do you guys do?
Well, the past 4 years or so, because after a Thanksgiving dinner, we always found that we were too full to eat our dessert, and we always liked the dessert. So Ann and I get up in the morning, and we start with the pie.
Nice.
And we eat pie, and then we don't even care about it after dinner.
Hey, hon, where's my wife? We've got to do that. Life is too short to wait till after dinner. What if you get a bone or something and you can't even go to the pie? I understand. I like that. That's great. That's great. Pie for breakfast. No, Andrew, we cannot do that. Maybe the day after. Any other Thanksgiving traditions? Del.
One of the kids was under that whole night, sort of coerced them to go around the table and just give them thanks. Now it takes a little less time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the two of you, right? Yeah, you get the food doesn't get as cold, I guess. So, but yeah, giving thanks. Ruthann.
Along that line, especially when the children were growing up, but continues to be happening, we put a long, long, and a long roll of paper, and we put a long, long, long sheet of paper on our bulletin board. And when people come by all throughout the day, they write down things that they're thankful for. If they think of something later on, they come back and add that to it and see how long of a list we can get.
Sure. Oh, that's a neat tradition. I like that. All right. Any others? Back there, Sonia.
After we have dinner, everybody, well, the guys are really watching football, but all the cousins and aunts and everything, we make sandwiches every week. So my uncle will collect all the greens and everything that morning, and then we make sandwiches every week.
Wow. That's cool. And very crafty. I like that. All right. Any others? Bob.
In our family, we just...
Sure, absolutely. And it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Yes, Anna Michael.
In our family, we all come with like an idea, like a recipe that we want to make, and everyone kind of makes their own dish. Of course, we always have the turkey and mashed potatoes and green beans and stuff, but there are lots of extra little things in the
fun. Oh, that's cool. So you get to kind of debut a new recipe and test it out on the family. Oh. Neat. I think. I mean, unless it's just a terrible recipe, and then, you know, that's good. And if the family's really made you mad that year, you make something really terrible, and no, that sounds really good. Any others? John.
Since Shirley and I got married on Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I always take Shirley out to the Thanksgiving feast at my brother's house.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't see Shirley raise her hand on that one. Actually. No, that's not, that's what family's for. All right, great. Any others? Yeah, Floyd.
When our kids were home and now our children, with their children, we used to make turkeys out of apples, toothpicks, and gumdrops.
Oh, cool. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that sounds neat. I remember doing that as a kid myself. All right, any others? Yeah, Jack.
Christmas is the first day in the year where we're allowed to listen to Christmas music. Thanksgiving is the first time we're allowed to listen to Christmas music in our house.
Uh-huh.
So we always get out all of our old Christmas CDs and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's good. You pull out the Alvin and the Chipmunks album. And
these are the new Canadian brass.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah? How many of you start listening to Christmas music on Thanksgiving? How many have already started listening to Christmas music? Yeah. All right. Well, any others? Yes, Jan.
When we were old enough, we used to have anywhere from 15 to 20. Depending on the weather, we would either play softball in the afternoon or go skating. It's a big field that we tend to flood.
Sure. Yeah. And well, and up here, skating is probably more often than the softball. Wow, okay, that sounds like fun. Any others? Yep.
After you finish getting our fill of Thanksgiving, we usually get the board games out, the off-season, card games, get mad at each other playing. Who won the Monopoly game and all that?
Sure. Oh, man. Any others? How many of you grew up somewhere where you didn't celebrate Thanksgiving? It's an American tradition, right? Most of our Korean students, right? No Thanksgiving. Chinese students, not necessarily a celebration that they practice all around the world. When we were in Guam, Thanksgiving was recognized by people that live on Guam, but we had Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Thai, all those cultures, they don't really celebrate Thanksgiving the same way we would. And then in the Philippines, they do something a little bit for Thanksgiving. In the islands, Micronesian islands, some of them not at all, some of them do. In the islands, they eat something on Thanksgiving that I didn't even know existed. It's called turkey tail. Turkey tail. It's they send it all to the islands, obviously, because no one here has ever had it. But they just love that. And they kind of stew it and eat it with rice and with breadfruit, and they just gobble up, no pun intended, turkey tail. But when we'd have our Micronesian adopted students over to our house, we didn't really want to make that in the house. So they would eat that over at the cafeteria at the school, and then they'd come over and eat traditional, more American food. But we'd also, for them, cook up a little tuna, or we'd slice up some sashimi and maybe some yellowfin or some wahoo is really good. Anyway, and then we'd go out and get sunburned playing flag football and get real sweaty and everything. Then we'd turn the air conditioner way down in the house. And then that evening, sometimes we'll pull out It's a Wonderful Life or something like that and fall asleep halfway through every year. So those are some of the traditions. Thanksgiving itself, obviously, we are in the Thanksgiving part of the country. You know, everywhere else, if you've never lived anywhere else, you don't realize just how significant this region is. And some of these traditions and just some of the colonial things that have to do with New England really are. I mean, in other parts of the country, they celebrate some things, but it's just not as much part of the fiber as it is up here. I mean, Thanksgiving just really is. I mean, this is Thanksgiving country up here. And so the words Thanksgiving, you know, which came first, the holiday or the practice by Christians to celebrate a giving of thanks? Well, obviously, the Bible has a lot to say about the giving of thanks, or the term thanksgiving. And then that term is borrowed by the American celebration that goes all the way back to the beginning when the pilgrims were celebrating. And you're all familiar with the historical part of that. But let me just give you a little bit of background on Thanksgiving. Then I've asked a couple different people to read some verses that have to do with Thanksgiving out of the Bible. The term thanksgiving in the Hebrew, the Old Testament word was that word yada, which really meant to raise or to bless. And so, like to offer up, to raise or to bless. In the New Testament, the Greek word was one that you'd be familiar with, especially if you're formerly Catholic. It's the term Eucharist, Eucharistio, I think is how you say it. It's got a little E-O at the end of it. But the term Eucharist actually means to thank. And the reason why that term was used by the church, not just the Catholic Church, just by the early church in general, we don't say it so much now because it's taken on such a Catholic term that we don't want to create any kind of confusion, because they believe it's a sacrament and gives grace and things like that, which we wouldn't promote. But the term Eucharist means to give thanks. And it was an opportunity to stop and remember in a thankful way what the Lord had sacrificed for us. And so that's where the term Eucharist came from. It means thanksgiving. And also there's a word charis, charis. You'll meet it's kind of a common name now. People name their children charis. That is sometimes used for thanks as well. It's translated as thanks. So in Webster's dictionary, thanksgiving is the act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercy. And specifically, it's a public celebration of divine goodness, also a day set apart for religious services, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of his bounties. The practice of appointing an annual Thanksgiving originated in New England. And when you look at the early Thanksgiving celebrations, they were often tied to some type of special victory. When George Washington had declared a day of thanksgiving, it was after a battle. There were different times where there were specific instances of thanksgiving. I think every president in the history of the United States has had a day of thanksgiving at one time or another. But obviously, it just became an official holiday in this past century. But in the Bible, in the King James, The word thanksgiving itself is used 28 different times. And then the word thanks is used 73 times. The word thank is used 27 times. Thanking one time. If you look at all, we're talking the word thanksgiving and then thanks. You're well over 100 instances of God's word talking about thankfulness, thanking, thanksgiving. So the Bible has a lot to say. Matter of fact, those words right there, that little family of words, is used more than many other words that we build major doctrines on. The word tithe, I think, is only used like 25 times in the whole Bible. But, you know, we build a whole system on it, and we should. But the word thanksgiving really permeates the whole Scripture. I mean, really, almost every book in the Bible talks about some form of thanks or gives an example of thanks or thanksgiving. And so the Bible has a lot to say about the giving of thanks to God. And because we see that in the Bible so much, and because that is linked, that concept of giving thanks to God is linked to the origination of this holiday, then really there's no way to look at thanksgiving except through spiritual lenses. It really is a very spiritual, supposed to be God-centered holiday. It might be why some of us almost love that as much or more than any other holiday, because it focuses more on the Lord. You can kind of remove some of the material veneer that sometimes comes along with Christmas and sometimes some of the other things that come along with other holidays, and you get back to the essence of sitting down, stopping, and corporately and privately giving thanks to the Lord. So I wanted to look at a few instances of thanksgiving in Scripture where, at least in the King James, the word thanksgiving is actually used. It might be a slightly different word in some of the other versions, but it still gives the same idea. And so I've handed out a few note cards to different people and asked them to read the verse and then just kind of answer, what does that verse have to say about thanksgiving? I wrote the little question for them on there, and hopefully none of them are stumping questions. But first, let's start off with Revelation 7, 11 through 12. Who has that? Okay, Seth, go ahead and read that.
And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And the question was, who else besides believers gives thanks? That would be the angels.
The angels practice thanksgiving in heaven there. Okay, who has Revelation 11, 16 and 17? Walt, go ahead.
And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. The question is, where will we be given thanks for all eternity? Well, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you will certainly be in heaven doing that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And Lord willing, that's just a continuation of what we spend our whole life doing, giving thanks to the Lord. All right. Let's see here. Who has Psalm 50, verse 14? Okay, John. Yeah, it's not. God has commanded us to give thanks. And it's out of a heart of gratitude. We're not doing it robotically, but it's also not optional for God's people to be unthankful. We cannot be unthankful, so we have to be thankful. Okay, who has Philippians 4, 6? Okay, Dan. Amen. Yeah, our thankfulness is not predicated upon the outcome of everything we ask from the Lord, but we should go to God already thankful, not be thankful if we get the answer that we're looking for. Yeah, that's very good. Psalm 92, 1 and 2, who has that? Okay, Dean.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. What does David say about giving thanks? Basically, that it
That's right. It's a good thing. Matter of fact, it resonates with believers. When you hear someone that's truly thankful to God, it resonates with you. When you see an interview of someone on television, as a Christian, have you ever been like where you're just kind of hoping they'll give thanks to God? That you're just hoping that they'll give some kind of glory to God or some kind of testimony? You're just kind of sitting there on the edge of your seat? And sometimes they do, and you're like, oh, praise the Lord, I'm so glad they said that. But a lot of times they don't. Well, it's a good thing to give thanks to God. All right, Psalm 35:18.
I will thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng I will praise you. When should we be giving thanks? We should give thanks when we gather together in the public.
That's right, yeah. It's a great time for giving thanks. We might be privately thankful, but really, thanksgiving is part of our worship, a regular part of our worship. Every time we gather together in the congregation, David said, we should be giving thanks. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
In everything, or give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What should we give thanks for? Everything in all circumstances.
That's right. That's right. And very similar to that, Kevin, you have Ephesians 5:20, right?
Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Danny said, what do we give thanks for? We're to give thanks to God for everything.
That's right.
Even pumpkin soup.
And the tummy ache that ensues after eating it. Yes, we really are. And it's so easy. I mean, when things are going well, it's easy for us to say this. Oh, we're going to give thanks for everything. It's when those difficulties come that sometimes we get a little shaky on this point. A lot of these other things, it's a given. We agree. Yes, we're supposed to give thanks. Yes, you know, it's commanded. Those are easy. But when we get right down to in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do we really believe it? Or are we extremely thankful for the good things? I mean, to the point of almost just taking it for granted that we're just thankful all the time. But when the hard things come, we have a real hard time. That's really a test of our faith. It's a critical moment for our faith. Well, let me give you just a couple practical things as we wrap it up tonight. So how do you keep the thanks in Thanksgiving? And these are just a few things that you can think about, you can talk with other believers about this week as you go into your Thanksgiving celebration. Many of you will probably be getting together with someone on Thanksgiving. I hope everyone has somewhere to go on Thanksgiving and spend some time with friends and loved ones. And even if you're with a whole group of unsaved people, you can kind of keep the thanks in Thanksgiving. These three ways are ways that I was thinking of. First, verbally, constantly expressing our thanks to God for everything. Constantly expressing it verbally. We should not assume that everyone knows that we're thankful. We should verbally express it. You ever have a child, like if you're a teacher or as a parent or a grandparent, you have a child just thank you for something unexpectedly? Doesn't it just really, it makes you just feel great? It's like, wow, you know, I'm so glad that they did that. That was really wonderful. That really encouraged me. Well, we should be verbally thankful as adults as well, and teenagers as well. We can get to the point where we kind of just assume everyone knows where we're at on things. You know, like the guy who told his wife he loved her when they got married, and if anything ever changes, he'll let her know. You know, well, thankfulness is sometimes looked at the same way. You know, our personality or our culture might not be one where we're just, you know, verbally thanking. But, you know, it's a good testimony. First, I believe it's a good testimony to unsaved people around us when we're verbally thankful. You want to be different than the world, be thankful. And the unsaved people around you will see this light reflecting off of you that's coming from God, and they're going to know that there's something a little different. Because thankfulness, that attitude of thankfulness, is different than what the world promotes. And so I'd say it's a good testimony to the unsaved. It's also an encouragement to believers all around us. When we're thankful, when we're thanking the Lord for things, it's just a blessing to other believers. It encourages people. And that's what we're called to do. Like Barnabas, as we talked about this morning. You know, we're really called to be Mr. and Mrs. Refreshment. We're supposed to be thankful and be encouraging each other. And then, of course, it's commanded. Hey, even when you don't feel like it, fall back on rule number 3. It's commanded. You don't have an option. You need to be always being thankful to the Lord. And even if you don't feel like it, you commit your works unto the Lord, as it says in Psalms, and your thoughts will be established. So you do what's right, whether or not you feel like it. And what happens is God starts to change the way you feel, but you obey first. And so even for those other two reasons, when you're not feeling like it, it is commanded. So to be verbally thankful, constantly expressing our thanks to God for everything. Number two, our attitude, constantly checking ourselves and our attitudes. And the reason I say this is because we have a tendency to just naturally become unthankful for certain things. Some things it's just, you know, they really appeal to us and we're just thankful. There are some things that really we're just not thankful for, that it's hard for us to see a reason to be thankful for. I'm that way with conflict. I really do not like conflict. I am a conflictophobiac. I used to run away from conflict. Now I just gallop away from it, but I still do not like conflict. And I have a hard time being thankful for conflict, especially when someone else is doing some kind of knuckleheaded thing that they know they should not be doing and it's causing conflict in my life. Well, you know what? I need to check my attitude constantly, because when that starts to well up in me, I'm having a hard time being thankful for that. And when I feel that and I sense that, I need to stop, pray, confess it if it's sin, and declare my thankfulness to the Lord for everything. It's because also our attitudes seem to drift. Our attitudes drift slowly. We might today make a commitment on Sunday at the end of a message to be thankful for something that really you wouldn't naturally be thankful for. But come Thursday, Friday, your attitude might have drifted a couple degrees off of where you were so firmly tied to it on Sunday, right after the service, you start to drift. And so checking your attitude constantly helps you to not allow your attitude to drift away from being thankful and practicing thanksgiving. And then if you realize that, as the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're going to be verbally thankful, it needs to come out of overflow of our attitude in the heart. And so when we go back and we're constantly checking ourselves, am I being thankful for this? Am I having a hard time with this Thanksgiving thing? Then that helps me to make sure that my attitude stays right, that my heart stays right, so that I can practice verbal thankfulness. So, because out of the abundance of my heart, what overflows out of my heart comes out my mouth. If you start to hear out of your mouth a lack of thankfulness, a lack of thanksgiving, that's not just a slip of the tongue. That's an overflow of the heart. And that's an indicator, hey, you know what, there's something going on inside of me. And I need to stop and check this attitude and give it back to the Lord. So there's verbally, attitude-wise. And then this is something that we as believers need to probably grasp more than we do. And I'm talking to myself because I don't think in these terms. And maybe it's just the way I was taught. Maybe it's just, you know, I just never slowed down enough to think this way. But you realize that thanksgiving is worship. Let me say it again. Thanksgiving is worship. In the Old Testament, they even had a thank offering that they would come and literally put onto the altar and burn. And it was a literal sacrifice of thanksgiving, or an offering of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, our thanksgiving, is worship. And when we withhold thanksgiving, or we're not being thankful, then we're going to have a hard time worshiping the Lord if we're not being thankful. It's a sacrifice to God, and it's something that you're literally putting on the altar before God. So as you go into this week, you're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving and being together with people that you love, and also maybe your in-laws, and you're going to be spending time with folks. And you know what? There's a lot of time for talking. When you're there in the kitchen, you're sitting there watching the game, you're sitting there at the table, I challenge you to pray and ask the Lord to give you a specific opportunity to demonstrate the obedience and the worship of verbal and attitude thanksgiving. God will bless that. And especially if you're around unsaved people, it will be a distinct difference. it will be a light in a dark room when you practice Thanksgiving, true biblical Thanksgiving. And I hope that helps you. I hope some of these other suggestions, too, of some of the things that the other folks do, except for maybe the pie for breakfast. I don't know if anyone else would do that besides me, but, you know, you're going into a great time. And then right after Thanksgiving, we go right into looking forward to Christmas and all the things that come with that. And we don't want to just miss all that. I think sometimes the reason why we try and hold off on some of the Christmas part is because we don't want to just skip right over Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving at its core is a very spiritual holiday that we need to really observe in a biblical way because it really is a great opportunity for us. So let me close with this. I have a few announcements and then we're actually going to be done. A lot of good announcements here. These are just wonderful. Let's see. Wednesday night, come with your thinly sliced pie pieces to the cafeteria, 7 o'clock, prayer, praise, pie, provision service in the dining room. And there's still a sign-up sheet in the back. If you haven't signed up, I think someone has signed up to bring some apple cider. I think it's already covered, but we are looking for, you know, as much pie as we can possibly get. It's a little hard, though. You know, you don't want to bring your best pie because you want to save that for Thanksgiving Day,